Welcome back. Last time I spoke about the development of writing systems among the Maya and the transformation of our understanding of Maya political history that went along with the translation of Maya glyphs through the last decades. This was an extraordinarily important process for archaeologists. We went from a situation in which we probably underestimated the political complexity of Maya relationships between urban centers to a gradual understanding that these centers were in competition and alliance in very serious and intensive ways through most of the first millennium AD, and that the relative fortunes of different Maya urban centers changed significantly, expanded their territories, contracted their territories, were taken over, were dominated others over this period. And much of our understanding of this process has to do with Maya writing. So it's also going to be the case that Maya texts are important in our consideration of the processes that we're going to cover in this lecture, the Maya collapse. In the 8th century AD, a progressive abandonment of Maya urban centers began, which in the Maya heartland led to the disappearance of Maya regional and city states by about AD 900. It was a dramatic process, covering perhaps a little more than a century. This is often conceived of, seen by outsiders, as in some ways equivalent to the fall of Rome, with a subsequent Dark Ages that only ended, I suppose, with the Spanish conquest. This comparison is probably misleading for a number of circumstances, or a number of reasons. For one thing, it would be hard to designate the depredations of the Spanish conquest in Maya territory as any kind of return to civilization. More broadly, we have to try to understand Maya history on its own terms, without interpreting it using assumptions that originate in other parts of the world. The fall of Rome was a political and cultural process, but it was a Roman political and cultural process. So we have to be careful about using it as an analog, as a model for understanding other regions of the globe. So what can we say then about the disappearance of states and urbanism in the Maya heartland? This is going to be complicated in part because states and civilization did not disappear everywhere in Maya territory. There were some areas where we see a persistence of Maya elite culture right up to the coming of the Spanish. The Mayan texts themselves tell us relatively little in their own right about the processes that led to the disappearance of urbanism and states in the Maya heartland. And this is as we might expect. Mayan texts were written to glorify rulers, and they inform us about the strategies and victories of ruling elites. Texts and artwork depicting the losers in these struggles were defaced. And we have numerous examples in Maya centers of stela, statues, artwork that were in fact defaced, that are erased from history, or as close as possible erased from history. They were defaced, or perhaps probably in other cases, in many cases, such texts, such artwork simply disappeared. What happened in the 8th century AD, however, was something very different and extremely interesting. The habit of writing stopped in the Maya heartland, along with the habit of urbanism and the social hierarchies that both had sustained. This was not an instantaneous process, but it's an extremely interesting process because the way in which writing stopped in and of itself offers us clues to the ending of elite culture in the Maya heartland. So what did this process of forgetting, of ceasing to write, what does it involve? It seems to have involved a number of steps. First, the development of regional differences in the Mayan script, as if a pan-Mayan high culture of literacy was beginning to fragment in the last half of the 8th century AD. We start to find peculiarities in the writing system that seem to be specific to certain areas, or even in some cases to certain centers, almost as if written dialects are developing in the script. That's one. We start to see a simplification in the writing system as particular glyphs, as particular symbols, begin to fall out of use. It's as if the vocabulary of Maya elite literacy is contracting through time. Thirdly, we see a reduction in the legibility and comprehensibility of texts. As glyph forms, as the symbols used in Maya writing become indistinct, and what epigraphers call pseudoglyphs, signs imitating real Maya writing in their general appearance, but without any known meaning or any consistent usage appear. It's as if symbols in Maya writing were being copied by people who really didn't understand or had only a very imperfect understanding of how that writing system was supposed to work. It's difficult to escape the conclusion that elite literacy was breaking down over the Maya heartland in the 8th century AD. And that implies a breakdown as well of the social and ideological basis of the political system. Why do elites no longer feel the need to learn to write or to memorialize themselves, and indeed to materialize themselves in this way? In part, this is a process of interaction. One doesn't write anymore because no one else is writing anymore and no one's reading. It becomes superfluous, useless. So does this involve then some kind of breakdown in communication between different groups within the Maya elite, or at least a breakdown in the forms of communication where writing would be significant? Interestingly enough, we see similar kinds of processes at work when Mesopotamian cuneiform and Egyptian hieroglyphs, two forms of writing systems that I've talked about before, when these systems fell out of use at different times through the first millennium BC. In all of these different cases, in the Mesopotamian case, in the Egyptian case, and in the Mayan case, it seems that the writing systems became irrelevant to the lives of both common people and particularly their elite patrons. Writing gets compartmentalized, or at least the use of these particular scripts, these writing systems, gets compartmentalized into very specific and finally quite esoteric uses that are divorced from the interests of most people, and then it gradually fades away. The main variables here seem to be, first, whether there was competition from other more prestigious and perhaps more efficient scripts. For example, the different Semitic and Greek alphabets in the Mesopotamian and Egyptian cases. In these cases, in the old world, there was actually competition between different scripts, and it's possible that the more efficient alphabets won. It doesn't seem to be relevant to the disappearance of Mayan writing. We also have to take into account the demographic context. Egyptian hieroglyphs disappeared in a situation of violent conquest of the country by foreign invaders, Persians, Macedonians, and so on. The last language for which cuneiform was used, known as Luwian, disappeared in the same way, as the area that Luwian cuneiform was used in was absorbed by the Assyrian Empire. This may be more relevant to the Maya case as well. We also need to remember that this disappearance of writing happened in very different ways across the territories of the Maya. Writing ceases at different times in different communities and vanishes in different ways. In some cases, as on, for example, Stela 12 at Piedras Negras in Guatemala, ambitious and grammatically correct texts were produced near the end of the 8th century AD. And writing ceases abruptly thereafter. In centers like Saibal and Calakmul, there was a gradual deterioration of writing through the 8th and 9th centuries AD, albeit a deterioration that happened at different rates. In the northern Yucatan Peninsula, in Mexico, the production of written signs continued until the Spanish conquest. In this area, elements of the writing system that involved the calendar and the naming of rulers lasted the longest. Now, what's fascinating about that is that these are some of the elements of Mesoamerican writing that appeared the earliest in the first millennium BC. So we go back to this core use of writing in calendrical systems and in the memorialization, the glorification of rulers. As we'll see, this is the part of Mesoamerica, the northern Yucatan, where Maya elite culture persisted after its abandonment elsewhere in the Maya heartland. However, it also seems that this production of signs in the Yucatan up to the time of the Spanish conquest was more and more a ceremonial activity with relatively little comprehension of the ancient meanings of the glyphs, of the symbols being reproduced. It was becoming more and more abstracted. Although it involved the reproduction of symbols, it did not necessarily involve their comprehension. The ending of Maya writing was part of a larger process of cultural change during the same period. Between the 8th and 10th centuries AD, there was a progressive abandonment of both urban centers and small communities, more rural communities, in the Maya heartland. The challenge here for archaeologists lies in the fact that the ending of writing is often assumed to be evidence for abandonment in and of itself. And of course, we have to be careful because there's no a priori reason to believe that the ending of writing meant the ending of urban life. The record, the archaeological record, and probably the specific historical processes at work, in fact, varied from site to site. Thus, if we look at some examples. At Tikal, I've spent a fair amount of time talking about Tikal, I mean, because this site is so interesting. At Tikal, the decline seems to have been fairly gradual, perhaps in part occurring because of competition from other states, from other Mayan states. The last major construction at Tikal took place around AD 830, and over the next century, the population shrank to only a few percent of Tikal's maximum. Through the 9th century AD, only perhaps 1,000 to 2,000 people occupied the site of Tikal, living in the temples, living around the plazas, and depositing their garbage in ceremonial areas. They seem to have tried to maintain some of the ceremonies, but one gets the sense from the archaeological remains that they really didn't understand the forms of those ceremonies very well at all. As I said, perhaps cultural amnesia is too extreme a term, but a loss of knowledge, a loss of intimate knowledge of how ritual and ceremonial were supposed to work. By the 10th century AD, the site of Tikal was abandoned, and the long reign of Tikal in the Maya lowlands ended. Palenque suffered a similar fate. In other Maya centers, the end seems to have been much more violent. At Dos Pilas in Guatemala, for example, archaeologists have uncovered evidence for escalating warfare with neighboring Maya centers through the 7th and 8th centuries AD, warfare that increases in seriousness and bloodiness and frequency through time. This culminated with the defeat of the rulers of Dos Pilas and the abandonment of the site by its elite for more defensible locations in AD 761. We can actually trace the movement of the ruling dynasty at Dos Pilas across their territory during this time period. Over the next century, the entire Dos Pilas region was engulfed in steadily more violent military campaigns, and most population centers were abandoned, often after being very violently sacked. So in this region at least, warfare, conquest, destruction associated with warfare seems to be an important, at least proximal cause, if perhaps not the ultimate cause, of the collapse of urbanism and elite culture. At Piedras Negras, where some of the most beautiful Mayan artwork and writing were produced during the 8th century AD, the end seems to have come quickly, after about AD 810, with signs of burning and destruction of monuments, of inscriptions, and of houses at the site. Some houses were abandoned, partially built at that time, as if people's plans for their future lives, their plans for construction, were had to be abandoned because of political change, because of invasion, because of warfare. There seems to have been a dramatic decrease in population at Piedras Negras during this time. As at Tikal, there's some evidence that a small group of people continued to live at the site of Piedras Negras for a time, but they were living among ruins. It's not possible for us to individually examine each of the dozens of cases of decline and abandonment that took place in the Maya heartland over this period in the late first millennium AD. Each community had its own history. Its decline took place according to its own tempo. But the overall result was the same. Maya population centers were abandoned. This was not simply, I will note, not simply an end to urbanism. Even smaller centers were emptied at the same time, and there was a decrease of perhaps 90% in the population of the Maya lowlands. It seems unlikely, there's no particular evidence, that most of these people were able to move anywhere else. This seems to have been then a real population collapse, probably associated with starvation, disease, warfare, and drastic decreases in fertility rates. It would have been a human tragedy on an immense scale. this ending is quite different from the fall of Rome, which was in large part brought about by mass immigration of people from beyond the frontiers, uncontrollable by the forces of the Roman Empire. The Maya lowlands would never again see populations on the scale of the mid-first millennium AD. Even today, this has been, of course, one reason for the difficulties that archaeologists have had in understanding Maya society through most of the 20th century. It's so different. The very occupation of the area is so different than what we expect. At the same time, it's equally clear that this did not lead to the end of the Maya. Especially in the northern Yucatan, Maya systems of religion and governance persisted after their disappearance from the Maya heartland. Maya ceremonialism and elite architecture was still being produced and used in northern centers like Chichen Itza and Uxmal, in the modern Mexican states of Campeche and Yucatan, until the coming of the Spanish in the 16th century. However, these were not urban centers on the classic Maya scale. There are a whole variety of possible explanations that have been advanced for the collapse of the Maya cultural system that have been developed by archaeologists, that have been argued by archaeologists. Most of these can be classified as either ecological or social explanations. Some archaeologists then believe that warfare or commoner revolt against excessive elite labor demands played a dominant role. It's certainly true that the construction of monumental architecture accelerated through the 7th and into the 8th centuries AD, probably in the context of competition between elites from different centers. But it's quite unclear that this would have intolerably burdened the population. Warfare may have increased over the same period. It certainly did increase, at least regionally, in some areas of the Maya heartland. And as we've seen, a number of the Maya cities seem to have been destroyed very violently. However, such warfare seems to have been endemic among the many competing Maya political centers, and we really don't know if it increased in absolute terms by the 8th century. And in addition, of course, warfare itself can have many different causes. It just doesn't spring up full-blown without any background. These causes can be social, ideological, political, or environmental. Other researchers, other archaeologists, think that increases in population and the progressive over-exploitation of the very delicate tropical forest ecosystems that supported Maya agriculture, possibly combined with a serious drought in the late first millennium AD, made urban life in the Maya heartland unsupportable. These are more ecologically oriented, environmentally oriented models. These models emphasize the challenge of sustaining large and growing populations in an environment that, as I've said in earlier lectures, is actually quite prone to drought. This is not the wet tropical forest, perhaps, of Western imaginings. This is a dry tropical forest, a relatively well-drained tropical forest, where maintaining adequate supplies of water can be a real challenge, particularly if you're trying to do so for tens of thousands of people. The necessity of feeding everyone in these circumstances, supporting these large urban centers, would have led to greater and greater intensification of agricultural systems, with an attendant destruction of the forest ecosystem. We would expect that this, in turn, would have led to decreasing population health, as measured, for example, in infant mortality rates, nutritional status, disease burden, and vulnerability to disease. It would result in a greater vulnerability to changes in climate, especially through drought, in a farming system that was being pushed to its limits. There is indeed evidence of a severe drought in Mesoamerica between about AD 800 and AD 1000, and this drought may have played an important role in driving Maya states into collapse. However, I would note, it's difficult to say why in that case Maya culture persisted in the northern Yucatan, in an area at least as prone to drought and arguably agriculturally less productive than the Maya lowlands as they were exploited in the first millennium AD. Why would we find a refuge area for Maya elite culture in a region that's arguably more peripheral agriculturally? Perhaps it was the very marginality of the Yucatan that preserved the region from the population increases and environmental degradation that afflicted the Maya lowlands, and so allowed a more modest version of Maya statehood to persist there. One difficulty with this explanation is that archaeologists do not really have good models for how societies cope with environmental changes that affect agricultural productivity. This is, I will note, a question for our own times as well. We have evidence for climate changes at different times in the history of the Maya states, but we don't have nearly as much information on the resilience, the adaptation of Maya communities in the face of such climate change. It's also quite possible, of course, that a combination of different factors, the warfare, environmental degradation, drought, and a purblind ignorance on the part of elites, perhaps, led to the end of an extraordinarily rich and sophisticated Maya social political system. In any case, it seems to have ended just as quickly and spectacularly as it appeared, and then ended in earlier times at places like El Mirador. This ending of Maya urbanism, of Maya civilization, as I said, it did not spell the end of the Maya people themselves. Maya people still live in the Maya heartland, in the Maya lowlands and highlands, at much lower population densities. Maya elite culture persisted in the Yucatan. But in a real sense, this Maya collapse was the end of a particular kind of Mesoamerican civilization that grew and flourished in the Maya lowlands and highlands, particularly in the first millennium AD. And the fate of that Maya civilization should certainly be the kind of cultural fate that we pay attention to today. For my next lecture, I'm going to shift geographically again, move toward the last of the great cultural areas we will look at. We will examine in this set of lectures the Pacific coast of South America. Thank you.